Well, I think it's a French term, chef de mission. It's head of delegation, so leader of the team, if you like.
The big boss.
Well, yes, in a way.
So how did you get involved with the Paralympics?
Well, my background, I was a canoeist, canoe slalom. That was my passion, my sport. I did two Olympic Games as senior national coach after I retired. And then in 2001, I was looking to do something a little bit different. And an opportunity came up at the British Paralympic Association. And I moved across to what was at that point the dark side. Didn't really know anything about parasport. We had great athletes then, but nobody really was that interested, and certainly not the media. So it really was quite a strange time that, you know, I moved across from Olympic sport that had a lot of profile into parasport that had equally as good athletes but very little profile. And I remember my first para games was Athens 2004, and there were about 300 people in the Olympic stadium watching Tanny Gray Thompson race, and I just scratched my head, and just it kind of felt like the world was missing out.
So do you think there's been a big change in the run-up to Pyeongchang since Sochi? Have things really changed?
Yeah, I mean, hugely. I mean, I think that our frustrations in terms of the general lack of interest, the lack of awareness of parasport probably lasted through to that decision to host London, the Games, in 2012. And I think the media embraced parasport alongside Olympic sport for the home Games. And the fantastic coverage of parasport, I think, just brought images of such talented, incredible athletes into British homes, and raised awareness, and created a new generation of sporting heroes.
And did, when the National Lottery funding became involved, did that boost Paralympic and parasports?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we forget that the lottery funding first came in 96, 97. And I think what was interesting when I came across to the BPA in 2001 is that the athletics and swimming had big awards, so, you know, sizable awards at that time, but pretty well most of the other sports either were on really small awards or weren't funded at all. And again, I think that UK sports strategic decision making in terms of how funding was allocated clearly changed with the opportunity of the London Games, and how would we maximise the London Games. So most sports from that point did get some funding. We're now sort of in a period whereby the funding is really around medal success, but I think that the funding to parasport is unequaled, I think, on the global scene. And I think that what has happened is that we've seen the professionalisation of parasport, but the whole of the UK high performance system. And I think that what it's allowed is best prepared athletes and best prepared support teams. So we've got talented athletes who are being prepared in the right way by experts in their field. So I think success on the field of play is really down to not only the talent that exists within both the athlete and support personnel cohorts, you know, the opportunities to compete more. It is really night and day as to where it was back in 2001.
And you've said in another interview recently that Mena and Millie are two of the best VI skiers you've ever seen. Obviously, there's a lot of success with Jade and Kelly in Sochi. Do you think that's going to carry on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, female visually impaired skiing in the UK is one of the real strengths of British para snow sport. And it was an absolute honour to be able to see Jade and Kelly deliver those medal winning performances in Sochi. What we shouldn't forget is that we had a 15-year-old Millie Knight, who was our flag bearer. I can't believe she's still a teenager, you know, 4 years on, and she's already got one Games under her belt, where she had two fifth place finishes, which was incredible. And along with Mena, you know, we've got two young athletes who are going head to head, week in, week out, to try and take the silverware. So I think it's a really exciting announcement today, and I think that, you know, if we've got athletes who are fit and well on the start line in Pyeongchang, I think there'll be lots of thrills and hopefully not too many spills.
So is there any organisations, people that you're working with to find the future VI partially sighted athletes?
Well, obviously, as Paralympics GB, the British Paralympic Association, we're sort of one step back from that. And I think that it really is down to the great work that the national governing bodies do with working in their networks to, I guess, publicise the opportunities in parasport and to get new athletes to try, you know, any sport. It doesn't matter whether it's winter or summer sport. We know so much about the positive influence of sport on not only life, you know, health and well-being, and that's both physical and mental. So the more that we can work with the media, and you know, if you guys can continue to do the great work that you're doing, then hopefully the message will get out there in terms of the opportunities, and we'll get new and fresh faces into sport.
And a final question: after the success of Sochi, did the BPA see a surge in excitement and people who are interested?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously we try and generate stats, because that's, you know, the tangibles. And certainly after London, there was definitely an uplift, an upsurge in terms of interest into clubs, onto the Parasport, the BPA website, in terms of wanting information. But it's the images that the media create, whether it be you know, written media or visual media, in terms of, I think, igniting the passion, igniting the excitement to really connect and get people into sport.
Well, Penny Briscoe, thank you very much for speaking to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.